Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name. I greet you amidst all that goes on in the world, amidst the struggles, amidst the pain, amidst the confusions, amidst the successes and the things that go well and the accomplishments and the triumphs, the valleys and the hilltops and all of it. I greet you in that name and in the name of the one that we follow. As children of the light, as children of the truth, we follow and are led by the one that called us by his name and pulled us out of darkness into the light, into the glory of his presence, and into a relationship with the living God. And that relationship we walk with, and through him, in him we live and move and have our being, and through that name we live and exist in this life at such a time as this. So, in all that goes on in the world, how you doing? how goes it? Love this tea. How goes it? how are you doing in your assignment, in your walk, in that which God has called you to do? You know, I recently had a set of interesting experiences, and life is going to be experiences. Life is going to be a series of things that come into your paradigm, into your just whatever it is that you go through while you're here, if you're following Christ. And God is going to allow for sets of experiences to test you and to show things to you and reveal things to you. And he's going to use you in those. But it's always interesting for me to encounter people that have been indoctrinated into the way of church as compared to the relationship with Christ and that which is real. And, you know, it's talked about in scriptures in Timothy, where it talks about those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And what's interesting to me is how angry they get when they meet somebody that knows Christ for themselves, that knows the Word for themselves, that knows truth for themselves, that's confident in their walk and is not dependent on that system that they're part of. Because, you know, it can get very traumatic for those that have checked their brains at the door and just decided to give over the responsibility of tending their own soul and walking this thing out with God for themselves, learning to hear the voice of the Spirit for themselves, working out their own salvation in fear and in trembling, as the Scriptures has admonished us to do, and they've given that over to an external party or parties, you know, either it's the Sunday service or the Sunday Mass or the Bible study or the books that they're required to read or whatever, that tells them this is what you need to do. And if you don't do this, now you're a bad Christian or you're a bad person. Listen, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you need that no man should teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. This is true. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know if you are walking with him. Does he work through people? Yes. But at the same time, God will have zero idols in place. You know, you got to take the scriptures in their entirety. And one thing, you know, all the way back to Exodus was, you know, to the early church that was given, the early body of believers, I guess, you know, the early chosen people as such, as an object lesson. Exodus chapter 20, and God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right. Well, I can just stop right there and put that up there. You know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You shall have no other gods before me. Then why is it that you listen to the voice of a man as if it were God? Why is it that people want to bank all of their faith on a person and a human personality rather than God? You don't think you do that? Or you don't think people do that? Just take a look. How many people want to have some other God before the Father? How many people want to blame somebody else for their experiences and don't want to take the responsibility for their own life, for their own choices, for their own decisions, for the walk that they live in this, in their existence in the earth? See, before Christ, you know, when people were still functioning under the law and all of that, and then the old system that was there, there was a priest, there was a high priest, and we've talked about this before. He would go in, he would offer the sacrifices, he would do all of those things to make atonement for the people. And because he was flawed, sometimes he would die in there. They would have to pull him out by his ankles with a rope tied around it and little bells on his garments, just so that if he stopped moving, they knew he was dead and nobody could go in after him because they would die too. But he didn't play with that. And Christ Jesus became the high priest for us. You know, the priesthood, priest in the order of Melchizedek, he came in, he fulfilled the law, he made the way through his body, he is the gate. You know, and Matthew 7 talks about him being the gate, he is the way to the Father, all of that's done in him. And in the midst of that, when the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and there was no block anymore, and the Holy of Holies was revealed and exposed, and revealing a spiritual example, a natural example of a spiritual reality that had taken place. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," and it was done then and there, and it is taken care of, and the way was made to the Father, all of that was done. Why will you now listen to the voice of a man that wants to lord over you and want to be and stand in the place of God, when God himself says, "You shall have no other gods before me"? Why is it that people constantly want to do that? Now, they won't say that. They won't say that that's what they're doing, but that is what they're doing. Because they exalt human beings and put them in a place that they should never be. You are instructed to test everything. Why is it that when we have questions, that instead of answering these questions intelligently and getting into an intelligent discussion, an intelligent debate, the desire is to want to shout us down, to criticize, to ostracize, to kill us? Why is that the reaction? Why is it the reaction that why are we such a threat when we just want to follow the truth and that which has been revealed in the scriptures, mind you, the Bible that they say they hold to? Oh, why don't you read it? Look what it says. No, there's a surface understanding, a topical understanding. Oh, you know, here's one that I this is always a classic for me. When people that don't speak Greek start quoting Greek words and Greek lexicon definitions to try to exert themselves as an authority. Oh, you've heard that one. Oh, and in the Greek, this means this. And you don't speak Greek. Yeah, you looked it up. Okay, good. Oh, man. Oh, man, I remember that whole wave of stuff. I don't even know if people are doing that anymore. Or just maybe a little contextual learning, you know, where they read about something and, okay, in this passage, this was what was going on in that time, and this is kind of what this meant. Listen, what's God doing today? You know, somebody talking to me the other day about Paul's prison experience in Acts 16, you know, and what that was like for him. Yeah, I know. And, you know, have you been to a third world jail anytime recently? Last time I stepped foot into a jail in Sri Lanka, I was asked to go there to help out with something. And I was given a tour of this place. 89 prisoners in one living unit area, one toilet, and it was broken. All right? So, let's get some context here. You know, you might read some things about what things were going on back in the day. Listen, there's stuff going on all over the world today, right now. You don't have to dip back thousands of years if you want to talk about people going through or people struggling or the human struggle or the human experience. What is God doing with you today? What is going on with God with you today? Where are you at with your walk with Him? Why are people so afraid to speak truth? Listen, you are in this world. Now, you that listen here, the ones that are still left, and I know we've ostracized many, many people out there. I mean, we've got out of our way to try to shake people and to you know, put the truth out there as God will give it to us. We have zero agenda past. If He speaks to us to put something out, we put it out, and that's it. It's done, and we leave it at that. But those that still listen here, first of all, be encouraged because God has put light and truth in you. Also, realize that you have zero apology to make to this world. God brought you into this, desired that you would be here, you of your free will, and this is going to be a hard one, this is one I've struggled with too, of our free will, we are here as well. We may not remember it sometimes, but, you know, we are here because there's part of God's plan and purpose in this, and at somewhere, in some stage in this whole thing too, our will was engaged in our being here as well. So, since we are here, and since we are God's, and we belong to Him, why not get on with the purposes and the plan of God? Do we have desires in our time here? Yes. Do we have things that God's put in our heart to do? Yes. Do we have things that are there that are eternal and all that? Yes, all this stuff is going on with us. Do we face oppression? Do we face ridicule? Do we face attacks? Do we face witchcraft and all these different? Of course. Par for the course. You know, scriptures have admonished us in this. Do you think that the suffering that you're going through is unique to you? This goes on with your brothers and sisters all over the world. And I thank God for you guys that listen all over the world. And you can testify, all of you guys out there, you all struggle with certain things in your life and in your time in the earth. Amen? Amen. Okay, but is that struggling without purpose? Is that struggling without reason? Is that struggle just for the sake of a struggle? No, it's for a reason. There's a purpose. There's something else going on here. God is doing something else with this. Now, in understanding that God is doing something else with this, part of the way to overcome, and here's part of what Jesus Christ admonished us, to him who overcomes in Revelation 2 and 3, and also in John 16, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So there is something about overcoming. Whether you are, whatever church you were part of in Revelation 2 or 3, there was the universal declaration to everyone was to overcome. Jesus said you're going to face trouble, but overcome. How do you overcome? Well, you remain in Him. Let His words remain in you. You follow out the plan and purpose. You consider nothing in this world worth holding on to, for except you want to follow Him. So when you know the truth, you will forfeit anything and everything else for that which is real. That which is Him, that which God has ordained for you. You don't want anything else besides Him. And you know what's amazing too? When you start realize, when you have Him, you have everything you need. The things of the world truly grow strangely dim. And it's an amazing process of life. When all of a sudden all these things that people hold dear and all of these things that seem so important to those that are tied up in the world, when they mean nothing to you. When fame and fortune mean nothing to you. When power and privilege mean nothing to you. When wealth, pleasure, and all the rest that the world has to offer you is nothing. Now, if it comes at the hand of God, and that's part and parcel of what His experience is for you in this life, sure. But because he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And when God blesses, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. See, when the world gives, it gives with sorrow. There is something that's attached to it. When people in the world, when they succeed in the world system, part of the marking of that is their sorrow that's attached to it. And that sorrow, because it goes so deep in their experience, that's the reason why they have to drink and drug and sex themselves every other moment they can get. Why? Because they don't want to deal with the sorrow that's there, because with their increase has also come sorrow. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. When you follow the Lord, you can sleep at night with the blessing of the Lord, because you don't have to, you're not watching over your shoulder. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So while we're here, we're about his businesses and his purpose, and when we check out, we go on to be with him. You can't lose. You can't lose when you walk with the Father. But here's the thing. Be straight about this. Be honest about this. Don't play this game. Don't play this. And here's a Christian game. Okay? Here's a church game. The church game is, I still want to succeed in the world, but I want Jesus to be my magic genie by which I do this. So I am going to now try to use Jesus as my means to get whatever it is that I want in the world. Because I couldn't get it by just going straight with the world. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to try to add a little Jesus on top and see if that helps me succeed. And when I succeed, I'm just going to come back and I'm going to go tithe. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, for this great job. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But what's in the heart? The heart is you never came out in the first place. You never came out in the first place. Exodus 20, again, let's go back to that. I and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Egypt was bondage. Egypt was a type of the world. Egypt was a type of the world system. Egypt was something that the children of Israel could not break free of in and of their own ability for a millennia if they tried. They could never get out. There was no way they could ever get out. And they were oppressed and they were bruised and they cried out unto the Lord, and God delivered them by his own hand. Himself, he delivered them out. And you know for yourself, when God touched you and God brought you out, that he delivered you for himself, by himself. No man did that. God did that for you. God brought you out. Egypt is a type of bondage. The world is a type of bondage. It is the house of bondage. So in the world, the people that go into that house and want to stay there, they are in the house of bondage. There is no freedom there. There is no victory there. There is no hope there. But people still want to win the game. They still want to win the brass ring. They still want to make it. They still want to be a celebrity on that stage. Unto what end? All right, you get it. Then what? You become a success in the world. Now what? Now what? You want a bigger house? You want a flashier car? You want to upgrade your girlfriend, boyfriend? Husband, wife, kids? What is it that you want? Where is it that you're going with this? Again, in order to not deal with the sorrow of going that way and forfeiting the truth and forfeiting Christ, it's just this never-ending pursuit, one lust after the other, one upgrade after the other, one push after the other, never ever a place of contentment, never ever a place of release, never ever a place of rest in their soul. They can't stop and be for 5 minutes. They can't wait before the Lord and wait on the Lord for 5 minutes. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. I don't give you like the world gives." Everything the world gives, it gives with expectation. There is nothing the world gives you for free. There is no such thing as a free lunch in the world. But when Jesus gives, he gives you because he loves you. And he gives you because he's blessing you. And he's giving it to you because that's part of your inheritance in him. So why would you not access that which God has given you and live in the abundance of the life that he's planned for you? You know, when you stop and when you think and you look and you really see, what is it that you need in this life? What is it that needs to be taken care of in this life? What is important in this life? You understand that all that's really necessary has been given you in Christ. God has taken care of the things that are essential. Matthew 6, the promise of God is applicable to our natural circumstances and situations. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now let me correct the false teachers in this, God speaking about your needs and not your greeds. Speaking about your needs and not your greeds. Because he's talking about the needs that the birds of the air have and the flowers of the field have. And he's saying, look, I'll take care of it. But seek first the kingdom. You know, God spoke something to me early when I was starting out. And it is born true throughout. And I mean, for 20 years, I remember this word. Oh, probably about that now, yeah. He said, "I will give you the need when it's needed." He just put that with me early on, because part of me was just always wondering, how are we gonna do this, Lord? And I was looking at that in myself, in my own limitations. And that's not what God called me to do. He didn't call me to make everything work. He just called me to go with him and to trust him. He just called me to obey, to trust, to follow, to listen to his voice, to be in step, to be a love antenna walking around in this world and receiving the broadcast that comes from him. And we just receive, and it flows through us. And as we're here and as we do this, he's the one that does it through us. So I'll give you the need when it's needed. And when you step out, since we're on Exodus, since we're talking about the children of Israel, they had a million plus people going out into the desert. Walking out there with what kind of supplies? What kind of food stores? I mean, they're walking out there, and what did God do? He supplied them with what they needed. Even if it means he's got to rain down bread from heaven, he's going to feed his people. "I'll give you the need when it's needed." They didn't need manna while they're in Egypt. No, in that situation, they're trusting Egypt to feed them. And there's a lot of people that look out, and God is calling them to follow him. And they just look out and all they see is water in the way and a desert on the other side. And they can't see past that. And they don't trust the God that calls them. So they stay in Egypt and stay in bondage the whole time. And occasionally raise their hands up and say, "Praise God," but they will never ever walk out of their slavery. And they will die in that slavery. They will die in Egypt. They will die in the world. And they will be recycled through this whole thing. It's such a waste. With God that gave you breath has also called you into an incredible thing. But you got to take that step and you got to walk out. And you got to trust him. You got to trust that he is going to do that part that he said he would. And it's in Egypt that there is no requirement for this. But it's when you start walking out, then you have to see the protection of God, or you're done. You have to see the provision of God, or you're done. You have to see Him working in and through you and on your behalf and all the surroundings, or it's over. But each step, you know, the walk of faith is just this. It's one step of faith after another. You just take one step of faith, then you take the next one, then you stay. And what is that? It's just trust. One step of trust after another, and pretty soon that's the walk of faith. You're just doing one after the next, after the next. You're just trusting Him. You know, I know there's a set of people out there that watch my life, and they've been waiting for decades now. Decades now, because I'm a little bit older now. They've been waiting for decades now to see me crash and burn because they know that I follow the living God. And they're waiting to see that. And they've just been watching and waiting and throwing curses and trying to do anything they can to hinder and just waiting and hoping that something bad will happen, and nothing has. You know why? Because every time there's been a trap that's been laid, God has walked me through that. Every time that there's been an attempt made, God has taken me past that. Just like every time there's been need for provision, God's provided. Every time there's been something on the horizon and God has intervened and made sure that He would continue to deliver His Son, even as He's continued to deliver you in that which you've gone through. And as they watch and wait and languish in Egypt in their bondage and in their slavery, hoping that something would happen just to justify themselves in their decision and their choice to stay in Egypt. Because you know why? They want to be able to look out and say, see, that's what happened. That one followed God, and look what happened to him in the end. Because they want to justify that decision and that choice because they know they've gone the way of darkness and it kills them inside. And they try to medicate themselves and do everything else. But in the process of that, their hope beyond hope is that when they see a child of light, they can't stand the fact that things could go well and there could be success and blessing in that life. So they wait and they watch. And if there is something negative they can do, they try to. But all of that, they don't know what they do, for one. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. But they're also trapped. They're still in their slavery. They're still in their bondage. Do we let that get us down? I mean, on a human level, yeah, of course, a little bit. But on a spiritual level, realize you're the one that's free. And part of why God has us out there as living epistles, as examples, is because they need to see and know that there is another way. They read our lives. And they know that there is another way. And it may break them up, it may crack them up, but some of them may actually repent and trust God and go out too. And that is the hope. So you've got to live. Who lights a candle, puts it under a bushel or under a bowl? No, you light it and you put it on a stand. That's what Jesus said. God's lit your life, so let it shine. Let Him put you on that pedestal, wherever it is that He wants you to be, and shine bright. Let people watch and see. Sure, why not? You want to watch and see? Here's the thing, though. Your life is ticking away all the time that you're waiting and watching and hoping that something bad happens. Your life is slipping away from you. Every breath that you've taken is one less that you have in this window, in this time, in this short season. Why not go forward into that incredible adventure that God has for you? Why not trust Him? Why would you not trust the God that gave you life in the first place? Do you not see the disconnect? He gave you life. He gave you existence. He's put everything there for you, and you won't trust Him. Oh, I'm grateful to God that there's still a little bit of a window left. And I plead with you on behalf of your own soul to trust God, to look to Him, to walk with Him, to follow Him, to believe. Not, and don't follow a man. Don't follow a person. Don't follow a human personality. Don't follow us. No, no. I mean, this is just purely, this is just cheering you on, encouraging you. But don't look to a man. This, all this should do is resonate something that God is speaking within you. Because the Spirit of God speaks to you as He speaks to us. Because we are His body in the earth. At such a time as this, set aside for His plans and purposes according to the work of His Spirit in the earth. Listen, all right? As also all these things continue to come forward. For myself, I look back, I don't spend much time in reflection on my life, but if I do stop and look back, I am so grateful, and I feel the people that know me and know kind of my own story and my life personally could testify to you. I've lived like triple life, the life that most people ever dream of at this stage. The adventures that God's allowed me to have, the things I've been able to experience, the things that God's had me involved with, all of that. And it's been incredible. So for me to check out at any moment right now, this life would have been an incredible, incredible blessing and adventure, and it would have been a full life today. So if for whatever reason, if God calls me home sooner than later, understand that I've already had a maximum and then some. But it didn't come on the terms of the world. It came on the terms of the Father. Jesus would have us to follow Him and trust Him, and in doing so, you put yourself in that position, in that place, in that flow with Him, and all things can grow and go from there. And if the world rejects you, just keep in mind they rejected Him first. If the world discourages you, keep in mind that they were working to discourage the Son of God first. If the world doesn't see or doesn't know or doesn't understand, keep in mind you are not this is not unique to you. This is part of what we all experience as we follow the living God. But also, as we continue to transition forward, we're coming into an incredible time. And in this time that we're now moving into, there's going to be some shifts and changes, twists and turns. And I am grateful to be around for this. For however much of this that God allows me to be around for, I am grateful. Because, wow, to be around at a pivotal time in all that takes place in the earth, and to be in connection with the living God, and to be one of His, this is going to be something. So, that being said, with whatever you're dealing with right now, Jesus said, be anxious about nothing. Well, it was in the epistles. His inspired writings, I should say, given to Paul. But be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Whatever's going on with you, give it to the Father, put it at His feet, trust Him. If you're dealing with something, then deal with it, but deal with it before Him. Ask Him for His direction. Ask for His counsel. Ask for the Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you, to show you the way through. But in all of that, seek His purposes, His plans, His directions. If He has you to let something go, let it go. If He has you to take something up, take it up. Whatever it is, go for it. But trust Him, because know that He is the one that has the best for you. And surely He will do and accomplish His purposes in your life. When you walk with Him, trust His Spirit, and work in union with the living God. You cannot lose as the child of God walking in the earth. And while the world may reject you and do all whatever it is that they do, you already have the victory in Christ Jesus. Know that. Trust that. And move forward in that. And be blessed. And know that you have brothers and sisters all over the world that love you. And we pray for you. We pray for one another in Jesus' name. And God bless you. All right, hey, we'll catch up with you sometime soon. Drop us an email. faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You need to write us every now and then and just say hi. Just, it's encouraging for us, all right? We love to just get a letter from somebody here and there. And just, we love to know that you're out there and how you're doing. And, yeah, so God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you sometime soon. All right, keep on keeping on. All right, bye.